Very thankful for the prayer that Brother Jesse offered up on our behalf. And it is my prayer that God would bless us to understand his word, to understand our purpose here upon the earth. You know, some of these things I didn't understand till I got older. I got caught up in the world, and you know, it's no time till the world has passed us by, and our time to depart is at hand. And anyway, I just think about how fast the years have gone by, and they don't get any slower. They just continue to get faster. Very thankful for each and every one of you being here today, and thankful for the faithful in Christ Jesus. And actually, the subject on my mind is being thankful. You know, this coming Thursday is a day set aside in America for many years called Thanksgiving. You know, but the Bible teaches me that every day in the life of the child of God should be a day of thanksgiving. You know, there's a time this coming Thursday when most people are off of work, and a lot of folks are very thankful for that. A lot of folks are thankful because they're able to gather with family members maybe that they have not seen or been around for a period of time, but regardless of where they have or haven't, it's a great blessing to be able to gather with your family. And if you're like me, you're very thankful for the wonderful amount and diverse amount of food that you get to eat on Thanksgiving Day. You know, about everything that you possibly could like, and then some, will likely be served. And oftentimes we indulge too much because of the love we have for the food. Some of us are thankful for the day because they sit around and watch their favorite football team, whoever it might be, play. But there are many reasons to be thankful this Thursday and to consider that as a great and blessed day in our life. But I hope you came here today with a heart of thanksgiving. You know, sometimes when life is a struggle, when you're not spiritually where you ought to be in life, when, you know, there's times of spiritual deadness, you might say, as the song says, number 581, when our hearts are dead, as though dead, spiritually, that we're caught up in the great difficulties of life and the troubles that bear down on us. Sometimes we have a hard time being thankful. But in Psalms 100, we're told in the third verse that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to God because God sent his son and gave his life for our life. That one day the troubles that you have, the pain that you're feeling, whatever it is, will be gone. We've been blessed to forage, if you would, in God's pasture. And he goes on to say, enter into his gates, not our gates, his gates with thanksgiving. I hope you came here today as thankful as you could be. Maybe life is not going the way that you wanted it to go. Or maybe you've got some difficulty or some sickness or you've lost some loved one. I don't know what your troubles are. I know that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And you know, we all have troubles, and they're going to continue in some form or fashion as long as we live upon this earth. But I hope you came here thankful for the blessed privilege and the honor, together with folks of like mind and like faith, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That was our purpose upon this earth. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But I hope you entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Be thankful unto God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless his name. And I believe the next verse, the concluding verse in Psalm 100, tells us that the Lord is good. No matter what's happening to you in your life, you were well enough this morning to wake up and be breathing in a land free with liberty. I mean, I want you to understand, no matter what's going on in your life, there's something to be thankful about. Thanksgiving is something that should be in our hearts and that we should have each and every day we live, no matter what our circumstances might or might not be. Are we thankful? Do we manifest the thankfulness of our hearts? You know, we're told in Proverbs that we're to keep our heart. We're to keep it with all diligence, meaning to be watchful. For out of the heart comes the issues of life. Is that not right? You know, I preached some time ago, months ago, about the face, the countenance. You know, what the heart feels, the face reveals. Can't hide it from anybody. We attempt to. We attempt to say that we're all right, but most people, if you know them well enough and you're around them long enough, you really know how they feel by the way they look. Are you full of joy and happiness? Are you really thankful? You know, a lot of folks would say they're thankful, but the question is, are we really thankful? I ask myself that question. You know, there's a lot of things in life not going the way that I wish they were going. You know, we know that Christianity's on the decline. We know that church attendance is down. I don't like that, but I tell you, I wake up and I'm thankful for those who still have a desire together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really am. Because there's many other things in this world today that you could be doing other than sitting here today in the presence, I hope, of the Lord Jesus Christ for the very purpose of honoring and glorifying His holy and righteous name. It's an honor. It's a privilege that maybe we've taken for granted, but I am thankful. I'm thankful that I have relatively good health at this time. The list of what we could be thankful for goes on and on and on. But the Lord is good, as Psalms 100 says. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You know, we live in a time that truth has become very unimportant to many of God's people. You know, I went to LCU a couple of weeks ago and listened to a man speak. He was a preacher from England. And he said churches around the world had, and especially here in America, even though he said we have more Christians here today, even with the decline, than any country upon the earth. Isn't that sad? Isn't that really sad? That Christianity is still the strongest in this country. And from 40 years ago, I can tell you, we've had a tremendous decline. But it's still the very strongest. He says a lot of churches now have done away with God's truth, basically. They don't stand upon God's truth. It's all become about feeling and emotions. A little of this from this church, a little of that from that church, and it's all about how the individual feels. We want to feel just right. You know, I've seen that myself. It's all about feelings and not about the absolute truth. You know, Brother Mike Rogers has been speaking to us on Wednesday nights and doing a wonderful job and a great blessing upon the doctrines of Christ and of the Bible. And one of them was truth that he spoke upon, God's truth. You know, we're told, what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Romans chapter 3 says, God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter whether you accept God's truth will stand forever. It is what it is. What God said will never depart and it will never change. But we need to enter into His courts. I hope you did, with thanksgiving in your hearts. I hope that you are thankful to God regardless of what goes on in your life. Today is a day that's 4 days prior to the day that we call Thanksgiving, but I believe the Bible teaches us that for the child of God, every day is a day of thanksgiving. We have something to be thankful about. I want to go to a text here in a few moments. In 1 Thessalonians, we try to continue. But I want a text that leads up to this that we might get a clearer understanding. In James chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, many years ago when I was young, I didn't make the statement, Lord willing, I will do this. Lord willing, I'll be at church. It's a habit that I've gotten into, but it's a habit that is really the truth. Lord willing, you'll wake up tomorrow and go to work. But if it's not God's will that you wake up and go to work tomorrow, you won't. You know, in this chapter here, we have some men who said that they were going to go into a city and stay in that city for a year, and they were going to buy and sell and get gain. Reminds me of what goes on in America now. You know, they'll go out and buy real estate, and they go out and buy houses, and they brush them up a little bit, and they flip them, and they make money. But he goes on to say, what is your life? Well, James said your life is like a vapor. It appears for just a moment, it vanishes away. That in the relative sense of eternity, that's what it is. I used to think about burning the cornfields when I was farming. Makes a mushroom of smoke that you'd think would last forever, but in a few hours, there's no sign of it. That's about the length of our life in the backdrop of eternity. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. He goes on and he says, since your life is so short, you ought to say, if I live, I will do this or that. You know, there's much discussion among God's people about the Lord's will. There really is. You know, some people will say, well, I just wish that I knew what God's will for me was in my life. And this is not really my subject, but it's leading up to the verse that I want to get. You know, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, well, honestly, if you study God's word and you'll read it to any extent, the vast majority of God's will for you in this life is in His word. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It is God's will that nothing, not your wife, not your husband, not anything out here in the world, get in the way or get in between you and your heavenly Father. That's God's will. You know, it's God's will that you don't steal. It's God's will that you don't bear false witness. It's God's will that you don't commit adultery, the actual act, or as it said about men lusting in their heart after woman. That's God's will. Sometimes we don't want to know what God's will is, do we? We don't really want to know what God's will is because it's not in accordance with our will. But I'll assure you, if you're interested in God's will for your life, I'll tell you right now, you read God's word and you'll find it out. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want to know what God's will is for your family? That you teach your children the ways of the Lord. That's God's will. He goes on. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's notice in verse 15 it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. It is God's will that you do not render evil unto others for the evil that they rendered unto you. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I shall repay. That's God's will. God's will is that you don't retaliate because somebody offended you or done something to you that you didn't like. That's going to be a part of our lives throughout the course of our journey here upon the earth. He goes on, he says, rejoice evermore. It is God's will that you rejoice. You know, there's things in the world that we have a hard time rejoicing about. But if we're rejoicing in the Lord, that ought to be forevermore. We ought to rejoice every day in the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to start praying right now and not pray, stop, ever stop. It means to be constant and consistent in your prayer life. That's God's will. It's worship. Prayer is and meditation is worship. And if you engage in it, that is the most worship you'll ever have through the entirety and the journey of your life here upon the earth. Is a one-on-one presence with your heavenly Father. Verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. Don't do anything that would take away from your spiritual life. You know, it says in Romans 12, Paul said, be not conformed to this world. That's the Lord's will. Don't be conformed to this world. He says to offer your body a living sacrifice. That's God's will, that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. He says it's an acceptable thing to do. Romans 12 and 1. We don't have a hard time figuring out what God's will is. We have a hard time sometimes wanting to know what God's will is because it didn't harmonize with our will and our desires. It's not what we want to do. It's not what the carnal flesh tells us is fun out there. It's not exciting. I think somewhat, it's like Brother Mike said about heaven, and he's doing a study on heaven, and I've read a little bit of a book about it. But the man in his book said that people were not excited about heaven like they were about retirement because they know that there's these homes out there they think they can buy and these boats they can get on the beach. They imagine what retirement will be like, but they don't imagine heaven. A lot of them think it'll be like some boring church service where they're sitting around singing all the time, and it's really not interesting to them. I don't think we imagine heaven in the context that heaven ought to be imagined. I think heaven will be far greater and more like this than we can possibly imagine. But we'll go on. He says, prove all things, hold to that which is good. It is God's will that you do that that is good. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm going to tell you, that's a tall order, but that's God's will. Because we're in the presence of all kinds of evil. When you take computers and cell phones, pornography, and every other kind of thing that's available out there, abstaining from the very presence of evil takes some discipline, takes a conscious effort, because it's available everywhere, and it's especially available to our young people. But the verse I wanted, I skipped over. Now, that's not my sermon about God's will. It will be sometime, but I want you to notice verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul points his finger that to every person that is born of the Spirit of God in this verse. This is not qualified for all of Adam's race. This is not qualified for just a certain individuals. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me and every other child of God. Someone might say, Brother Kenny, I can't give thanks in all things. I lost somebody that I loved. How can I be thankful? Well, let me tell you what I believe this verse is teaching us. In everything, that word thing means forms. I mean, in every situation, in every circumstance in life, whether it be good or it be bad, I believe that the Bible teaches us that there is something to be thankful about regardless of what has happened. Maybe someone died in their life. I've experienced that far before their years. But aren't you thankful for the time you had with them? You know, there's an old saying, it's better to love than lost and never to never known it at all. There's people in here who know that. They are. Friends, we got something to be thankful about regardless of the circumstances we went through in life. You know, Brother Mike Winchester stood in the airport, worked for Southwest Airlines for 30 years, and was some man got mad, come up and shot and killed him this past week, and they had his funeral yesterday in Purcell, Oklahoma. Don't you know, though, his wife is thankful for the time they had? Don't you know that the folks that knew him are thankful that he has now been delivered in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I tell you, there's never a day and there's never a time in our lives, a situation or a circumstance, that we don't have something to be thankful about. Sometimes we get caught up in the negative and in the bad things and the trials and the difficulties of life. But I'll tell you, in my circumstances, I'm glad to have it as long as I had it. And I know you are too. My point is, we're not thankful for a murderer. We're not thankful that he died at the hands of a murderer or any other circumstances. But we're thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the time that we had with those that we love. Could have been a lot shorter. Could have been a lot less. My whole point is, when Paul said, in everything give thanks, there's not a time in your life and my life. You may have lost a job that you've had for 30 years. You may be wondering what you're going to do. But aren't you thankful that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper? Aren't you thankful that if Jesus closed one door, Jesus can open another? Sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's like Mac Davis said, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But sometimes it's hard to be thankful when the troubles and the cares of life are flooding your soul. It really is. When you're bogged down with depression or difficulties or whatever it is that eats at you in life that seems to have robbed your joy and stole your peace, sometimes in those conditions, it's hard to be thankful, is it not? But Paul said, God's will in Christ Jesus concerning each and every one of us is to be thankful. Maybe our children didn't turn out just exactly like we had hoped in life. There are many things that we go through in life that don't turn out the way we hope. But I really believe that if you take the time and think about it, there's always something to be thankful for. Always. Aren't you thankful that regardless of what happens in your life, that you have the great hope of being in the presence of the Lord to never deal with death or the difficulties or the trials that we face today? We're to be thankful. We certainly are. Notice what it says in Ephesians 5 and 20. We'll move on from that. Paul said again, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ that we're able to approach the throne of God and speak unto the Father. It's only through that. His work, His shed blood, His mediation. But notice what it says there. Somebody say, well, I can't be thankful for everything. I'm not thankful for sinners, but it says giving thanks always for all things unto God. Not all things in the world. Not all things that are bad. All things unto God. When we're doing things unto God, when we're praising and worshiping His name, when we're entering in His gates with thanksgiving, when we're coming to the house of the Lord with praise in our heart, when we're realizing that no matter how bad the struggles may be, that the Lord has been so good to me, we sing that song, and it's the most truthful song, I think, in our hymn book. The Lord has been so good to me. He has. You know, we've all had our stories, and we've all had our troubles. And you know, the fact of the matter is, they're not done. We'll have another story to tell, another problem, another storm to come in our life. We really will. It'd be nice to say that the storms are over and the troubles are gone, but they're not. They're certainly not. So we need to always be thankful. Paul said, all things unto God we're to give thanks for. I'm thankful for you being here today and having a mind to worship the only true and living God, to understand that that is God's will. You know, it's God's will that you forsake not the assembling of yourselves. It doesn't mean that's going to keep you and bar you from heaven, no. But it's God's will. Don't you want to do God's will in your life? That is His will. His will is that we be filled with joy, His peace. But that our lives be filled with thanksgiving. When you look back at all the times you might have stumbled in your youth, as I have, all the sins that you may or may not have committed, aren't you thankful for His mercy? You know, I think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He wept and he was torn over the circumstances and the sins of Israel. Matter of fact, they wanted to kill him. He continued to do what God said and he prophesied. But in Lamentations, he lamented over the condition of those people. Have you ever lamented over a brother or a sister, a family member that is sad, that is brokenhearted? It seems to be out of the way. This is where Jeremiah was. But he said, I looked unto the Lord and I recalled, and then I had hope. He says, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, and His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you know that regardless of the struggles you have, you can be thankful that God has promised you eternal life and He will deliver. And you won't be sad anymore. You won't be ungrateful or unthankful. Those days will no longer exist. Aren't you thankful that the consequences that you and I suffer because of the sins we committed, that either our sins or someone else's sins, is at the root of all of our trouble? You know, I thought about the verse in the Bible that says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say it's the root of some of it. The desire for it can be traced back to every amount of evil that's in this world. But aren't you thankful that we have a God who is merciful, a God who has promised permanent, everlasting deliverance one day? He promises deliverance now. We have much to be thankful for. We notice in Psalms 50, in verse 14, not only is it God's will that you be thankful, it's God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you that you give thanks for everything. It's a commandment. Did you know that? God not only is not only His will that we be thankful, have a thankful heart, He commands us to be thankful. In the 14th verse of the 50th Psalm, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. It is our duty as His children, based upon what God has done for us. You know, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He made us and we not ourselves, as we're told in the 100th Psalms. We belong to Him because He gave His life for our life. He did. We ought to be thankful for that. He stood and bore the punishment that you and I deserve throughout all eternity. We got more to be thankful about than we can ever imagine. And it is our duty, a commandment, that we be thankful. We go back over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, and it says, let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. God calls us to peace, and be ye thankful. Like I said, sometimes with all the struggles we have in life, all the things that seem to be going wrong, all the sicknesses, all the death, all the losses of jobs, all the unhappiness in married couples, and the list goes on, all the problems with the children, sometimes we forget to be thankful. But aren't you thankful that one day this will all be made right? We won't have these troubles. I'm like Brother Mike Rogers. Every time I see him when we talk about something, he says, I hope the Lord comes before next week. I mean, it's just a constant. I hope the Lord comes tomorrow. Well, I tell you, I've about gotten that way myself. I wish the Lord had come right now and put an end to the pain, the suffering, and the misery that many of us go through. But even at that, in every circumstance or situation that we go through, we got much to be thankful for. And the hope that one day we're going to be in paradise where this doesn't exist is more than we can imagine, and something that we should be thankful for each and every day of our lives. We should be thankful when we enter into that private worship that I was speaking about. We know that's what happened when Daniel prayed. You know, Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, do you know that there was a decree by the presidents and the princes to King Darius to make it a decree that if anyone prayed to another god for 30 days, that they would be cast into the den of lions? We all know this story. But you know, he wasn't boasting. Daniel wasn't boasting, but he was not going to let the fear of men rule his life. You know, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I believe we see that in the book of Daniel as much as any book we've ever seen. When he threw the three children of Israel into the burning fire, there was a fourth in there, was it not? He wasn't going to forsake the Lord for the fear of man. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and ye shall not fear what man shall do unto you. Daniel wasn't fearful. He knew that either God would deliver him out of that den of lions or he'd be delivered into heaven. Deliverance was at hand. He said, he went into his house and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, praying toward heaven, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And he did it aforetime. Thanksgiving is something that we need to make a habit of. We really do. You know, just like I said many years ago, I didn't make the statement, Lord willing, I'll see you next week. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. But that's where I am today. Lord willing, I'm going to do what I want to do or what I think I can do. But it's in the hands of Almighty God. You know, Deuteronomy 8 says, it is God that giveth thee strength to get wealth. You know, we all think that we have provided our own wealth, we've had our own strength, we're all so smart that we've outdone the next fella. Friends, all the credit and all the glory goes to God, no matter what you got, how much, how little. That's what it is. Daniel here prayed three times a day, and each time he prayed, he gave thanks. Now, how could you be thankful when you'd already seen a decree signed that you was going to be put in this den of lions? He was thankful because he rested upon the promises of Almighty God, was he not? He was thankful because if those lions chewed him up, he knew that he'd fly away and forever be in the presence of the Lord. He knew deliverance was at hand. We all know the story that God shut the mouths of the lions, and when morning came, he was delivered out of that den, and those that cast him in were cast in, and the lions destroyed him. That's paraphrasing it. We didn't read it, but you know the story. But he made a habit of giving thanks, even in the most dire of circumstances. We need to be thankful every day that we live. You know, we give thanks in public worship. It says in Psalms 35 and verse 18, he says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. You know, we don't stand up and give thanks in the house of the Lord for the purpose of being prideful. We give thanks because we're truly thankful. And we ought to be a witness to others around us of how thankful we are for what God has done for us. You know, some people think because they don't live in a mansion, they don't have every dollar they ever wanted, that they don't have much to be thankful for. But you know, it is God who created each one of us. He created us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into us. the breath of life into our nostrils when we became living souls. We were created for nothing and given a promise to live forever, to never die. Now, if that's not miraculous and something to be thankful for, I don't know what is. We were nothing. We wasn't a thought. And God brought us into being and has promised us to live in paradise forever. They won't even be comparable. It's so wonderful and such a blessing compared to the earth that you live on now. There's a lot of things you enjoy now. I know there is me. I love the ocean. I love to see the vastness of God's creation. I love the tall mountains and the snow-capped peaks. I mean, it is just a wonder and a sight to behold of God's creation. I marvel at it. When we was in Cabo a few weeks back, I marveled at a body of water that God created in such massiveness. It gives me a feeling of the greatness of God's power and who God is. That's what the ocean does for me. And those tall peaks the same way. It's not about how I feel. It presents unto me a picture of God that nothing else does. He is mighty. He sits upon his throne in glory. And he's faithful to his promises. We can always be very thankful for that. You know, another thing that we're taught to be thankful for is through sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, in the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." What comes forth from the fruit of your lips? Two things primarily: prayer. Do you enter into prayer, into that private worship with God on a daily basis? You will be in the presence of the Lord. You see, when he says, "Enter into thy gates with thanksgiving," I believe those gates are to enter in the very presence of God Almighty himself. That's where we attempt to enter when we go to prayer with the Lord. We enter into his presence. Through meditation and prayer, we enter into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving in our heart. He says that the fruit of our lips, Paul said, giving thanks to his name continually. Through sacrifice, we can be thankful unto God. He certainly made the greatest sacrifice that was ever made in giving his precious son for our lives. We have much to be thankful for. Not only this coming Thursday, I'm thankful to see some of my family that I hadn't seen. I'm thankful to eat good food. I'm thankful to enjoy good fellowship. I know many of you will, and it's a day we look forward to every year. It's changed over the years. You know, back when it first began in the United States, Thanksgiving was a day that when the harvest was complete, folks sat down and thanked God for the harvest that he had brought unto the farmers, which supplied the food that we all ate. That's why we're to give thanks for the very food that we eat. Do you give thanks every time you sit down and eat? That's a habit. I used to didn't give thanks. I never sat down and gave thanks when we had a meal. But I know who I should thank. And good habits are just as easy to come about as bad habits are. So I encourage you to give thanks for your daily provisions every time that you partake of those provisions. It's a sacrifice that you do, according to the Lord, according to the Apostle Paul, in giving thanks from the fruit of your lips continually. God's word is another blessing for our lives that we can always be especially thankful about. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Here's somebody that's thanking God without ceasing, Paul, "because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," when Paul and them preached it, and those brethren that were preaching, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually," it's effective, it says, "effectually worketh also in you that believe." It didn't work in you to make you believe. It worked in you because you already believe. Because you are already born of the Spirit of God, the word of God has a powerful, effective influence on your life when you read it, when you study it, when God blesses it to be preached and you receive it into your hearts. It's not to convert the unbeliever. It's to empower the believer. It effectively works in the believer, those born of the Spirit of God. Something that we have to be thankful for. You know, God said, I will leave you a comforter when you have trouble in your life. I'll not go away and leave you comfortless. He sends us comfort time and time again when we lose those that we love or we struggle with the difficulties of this life. It's by the comfort that God gives us that we're able to go on. We have much to be thankful about. We talked about prayer. We talked about Daniel. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 6, he says, be careful for nothing. In other words, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Do you realize that there's not anything that you shouldn't go to God and pray about? I used to think, like a lot of people, this is not very significant, and I'm not going to bring it before the Lord, but that verse says everything. Be careful of nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. See, we're to pray, and that prayer is to be accompanied with thanksgiving. No matter how our lives are going, no matter what problems we may be having, no matter how much we may be mourning, see, it's in the times of mourning. It's in the times of rejoicing. We have much to be thankful about. And sometimes, if you're like me, you hadn't realized that till the days have passed by and you reflect back in your life of all the goodness God has given you. You know, everything didn't go always according to your plan when you was 20 years old. By the time you're 60, 70, or 80, you're going to look back and you're going to see that there are a lot of things didn't unfold just like you'd hoped they would have or that you planned that they would have. But I honestly believe if you seriously meditate upon it and think about it, think about the friends you made back there that never left you nor forsaked you, that were there to help you and loved you and cared for you, your parents. Think about the examples of your grandparents. On and on goes this list. We have so much in life to be thankful for, even when life does not always turn out the way that we had hoped it would, when it does not follow the plan that we laid out. And friends, a lot of times what we lay out doesn't come to pass in the order that we laid it out. But God, who is rich in mercy, always gets us through it for his great love wherewith he loves us. We have so much to be thankful about when we pray. Don't forget to thank God. That ought to be the first part of our prayer. When we recognize that God is God and he sits upon his throne in glory, how thankful are you for what you have in your life? It's easy to sit around in our negative attitudes and according to our carnal desires, think about all the things that we have not gotten in life. And if we dwell upon those, we're not very thankful. But think of the times that you were down and out and maybe you were at the end of your way. How many times did God deliver you through the help of someone else? Whether it be your parents or your friends or whoever it might be, we cannot thank God enough for his presence in our life. And I close with this verse. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The ultimate thing that we should be thankful about is God has put death and sin to rest. And we were given the victory. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do nothing to get it. Because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been given a victory that one day sin and death will have no dominion over us, and that'll last forever and ever throughout all eternity. So as we approach Thanksgiving this Thursday, I hope you will reflect back on the goodness that God has given you in your life. Remember the days that you might have been down and out, and someone, as Brother George said, gave you a cool cup of water. Someone befriended you and helped you through something. I can reflect upon those days myself. Sometimes as the trials of life approach us down the road, we forget the mighty blessings God showered upon us in the past. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for my family, and may God bless you, not only this Thanksgiving season, but every day that you give God thanks in your life. May God bless you is my prayer.